Thank you, Max. Well, it's good to see you here, and I've got the responsibility just for a few moments to tell you what is baptism, and then maybe just to share a little bit of God's word with you this morning, and just to help you understand what baptism is. And as you came in this morning, you would have seen that we're called Rayleigh Baptist Church. So we get rather excited when people get baptized. Fair enough. Well, some of us do. Amen. Some of us do. Are you at the back excited this morning, church members? Okay, I'd love to see a little bit of that excitement. Thank you, that'd be great. But actually, so we as Baptists believe that baptism is really important. And when our children are younger, we dedicate them to the Lord. So we have a service of dedication where we dedicate our children to the Lord and we ask God to take care of them and to watch over them and to help the parents. I'm a parent of two teenagers. The responsibility to love on our children and to help our children to understand the gospel and understand the truth of Jesus. And we pray that one day they'll come to a place of baptism where they'll come and declare for themselves what God has done. Because in dedication, when they're small babies, we can pray for God's protection on them, but they can't pray for God to be Lord of their lives because usually they're only this big. And all they do at that stage is cry and eat, and some have been known to throw up on the pastor's jacket when they've been dedicated. Some, not in this church. You're a kind lot. So believers' baptism is a very special moment. It's on their journey of faith. It's when they come to, on their journey of faith, to understand that they have met Jesus. For some of them, the Bible speaks about how we have got a really good example from Jesus himself. Jesus himself said, I was then baptized, so then you should also be baptized. Some of these people who are being baptized today have already come to faith in Jesus, but now they want to continue that journey of faith by saying to people today that I've died to my old self and I'm a new creation. The old has gone, but the new has come. So one of the reasons we go in the water is because as they go down in the water this morning, we say that they are buried to their old life and they rise up again into new life. Because to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to die to our old self and we need to have a new life. So they'll go into full immersion in water and we'll be asking them some questions where we'll be asking them, where they will be saying that they repent of their sins, they say sorry for the things that they've done wrong, and that they believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then they're going to come back out of that water and they're going to live a life that is, live a life where Jesus is number one. But they're not coming back out of that water saying that they're going to get it perfectly right every day. They're not coming out of that water saying they're superheroes and they're going to conquer the world. I pray that every one of them that comes out this morning being baptized would be used powerfully by God in the world. Absolutely. But actually they come out of it changed by what God has done, and then they are baptized today to declare the truth of what Jesus Christ has done in their life. So baptism is about receiving God's Spirit on you to then go out and serve the church. And we have three examples, really, three things that we should think about. The first is that Jesus set an example. So you would imagine in the church, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Good enough for Jesus, good enough for us. So Jesus set an example. Jesus was baptized by John, and then Jesus calls us to also be baptized. Jesus commands that we, as believers in Jesus, should be baptized. In the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was our example. Jesus commands us to do it. I didn't get baptized until much later in my life. I became a Christian and I didn't get baptized actually until I met who's now my wife and who challenged me to consider being baptized. But also the early church practiced it. On the day of Pentecost, Peter tells the people to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of your sins, that you may receive the Holy Spirit today. So these three people today are saying that actually they're following Jesus' example. Jesus has commanded them to do it, so they're doing it. There's some people that have been Christians for a long time that have never been baptized. But they should, because Jesus commands us to do it as disciples. And the early church practiced it. So Lily and Breda and Grace will come today and will do those things. They are identifying themselves today as followers of Jesus. And they're going to do that publicly. They're going to do that publicly by going into this warm water, I think. I haven't checked it. Is it good? Great. It's lovely. Anybody not been baptized? Put your hands up. It's lovely. It's actually, they're saying that we're identifying ourselves as a follower of Jesus, but we're going to be baptized today out of an act of obedience to what God has asked them to do. So baptism is a representation of how they have been forgiven and cleansed by Jesus, come to a living relationship with Christ, and that's why they're going to come into the water today to be baptized. Clear? Understand? Is that okay? Good. Now we're going to move just to, I just want to share a few words with you. It says here, preach, but I won't speak for too long. I might have to take my jacket off. Can I tell you a confession? We've ordered some new filters for the steam iron. So the iron didn't work, so I didn't iron my shirt. But is it all right? It's all right, though, isn't it? Yeah. It's good to share your confessions with the church. I'm glad you forgave me about that. It doesn't look too bad, does it? Who said yes? So let me just explain to you a few things. Some of you have come to church before. Some of you have come today because you've been invited to come. Some of you come today because you had no option but to come. Amen? That's true, isn't it? Some of you are here because you have to be here, not because you want to be here today. Come on, I know the truth. But let me tell you, the truth in Jesus will set you free. So listen a bit more to what I'm going to say. The gospel is a phrase that we often hear in Christian circles. You may have heard, if you've ever been around church, you may have heard people talking a lot about the gospel. The gospel is a phrase that we throw around in Christian services and Christian environments. The people that are getting baptized today, you may have heard them say the gospel. But to explain the gospel, it's important to understand a few things. So let me explain to you what they're talking about. And they're going to share their personal testimonies later on about how the gospel has changed their lives. But let me unpack it to you just for a few moments. It's only 4 pages. The word gospel literally means the good news. The word gospel literally means the good news. It's mentioned 90 plus times in the Bible. Broadly speaking, the gospel is the whole of Scripture. It's a mega narrative of God's plan to restore humanity to himself. Specifically speaking, the gospel is the good news about Jesus, the story of who he is and what he did. That's what the gospel is. So when you hear people talking about the gospel, if they're talking about football or rugby, that's not the gospel. If they're talking about good food, that's not the gospel. All those things are good. Rugby World Cup starts on Friday. That's a good thing. But it's not the gospel. I'll be off for the next 2 months. But actually, the gospel is the good news about Jesus. And if they're talking about anybody else apart from Jesus, it's not the gospel. It's just them talking about themselves. And I pray today that when you hear some of the testimonies today, you're going to hear about how Jesus has been involved in transforming lives. See, the gospel is the news about Jesus, of who Jesus is and what he has done. So let me break it down to explain it to you in 3 simple steps. 3 simple steps. The first is God's design. God created the world. He made it beautiful. He made it beautiful, and his purpose was for his world to be the same as he made it. It's impossible, isn't it, to ignore the beauty of the world? You might want to ignore who made it, but you can't ignore the beauty of it. Just look at the design of the plants and the moon. I was somewhere on Friday, actually, it's my wedding anniversary, and I was looking at the moon. And did you ever see the moon on Friday night? It looked beautiful. I probably should have been looking at my wife, not at the moon, but both of them are beautiful. But actually, the moon is just wonderful, and the plants and the creatures and all God's creation are beautiful. And the Bible tells us that God's original design was to design a world that was perfect, with everything in it working together in harmony. And the Bible speaks about how God created us for his purpose in that. He created, God's design was to create the world and create us for his purpose within that. But he also created us for us to know him and to enjoy him, to live and bring glory and honor to him. We might be so far away from that now, but that's what it says in Genesis, in the book at the start of the Bible. You can always find it because it's the first one. But the Bible tells us that God's design was perfect. God created you and I for a purpose, even if you don't know him yet. He's designed you for a purpose. He created us to know him and to enjoy him, to live life and bring glory to him. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 33 says, God saw all that he had made, and it was good. And it was evening, and it was morning on the sixth day. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So the narrative, the mega narrative of the gospel, the first thing is that God designed the whole world. And even people who don't even confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, many people who don't do that can still say that we believe somebody designed the world. And I want to say that it was God. You know, look how beautiful Scotland is. God must have done that, eh? God designed the world. So the first thing I want to say is that God designed the world. And the second thing I want to say, but our brokenness, you might want to call it sin, changed the narrative for a few moments. But don't worry, it ended well. So don't get upset. See, God's design was that his world was created in a wonderful way, but our brokenness, sin, it changed the narrative for a short while. But then the narrative finishes gloriously. And that's why people are being baptized today. If we look around at our society, it is easy to see that humanity is not bringing glory to God. Rather, there is brokenness in our world. I'm not going to stand here as a vicar of the church and say there's no brokenness in our world, because there's far too much brokenness in our world. We see the evil of terrorism. We see war. We see violence. We see abuse. We see betrayal. And in the lack of knowledge to God, we can search high and low to find the reasons of that brokenness. But the truth is, beneath all that brokenness, the problem is spiritual. The problem is spiritual. The problem is spiritual. Really, I have to say that I am the problem. And you are too. I see, our brokenness, our sin, leads us to do things that are not of God. So man and woman, boy and girl sin are the things that they do that are not of God and brings brokenness into the world. We have not lived for God. We have not followed his rules. Rather, we have made our own. God designed it. We were disobedient to live our own way and ignored God. So we just wanted to do things our own way. Thousands, millions of people have done that for generations upon generations upon generations. Millions and thousands and millions of people are doing that today. God designed it. They enjoy the beauty of it. But actually, they don't understand that our brokenness, our sin, sometimes destroys those things. The world, because when we're not in our relationship with God, then we do things and say things we shouldn't do. We say things that we shouldn't say, and we do things that we shouldn't do. But we have to understand that if we value our relationship with God, the Bible calls this sin, when we do things and we run away from God. Sin is running away from God, trying to do life on our own. I did it for 13 years of my life, until I realized that even though I was a sinner and I got things wrong and I wanted to do it my own way, the best way to do it for me was to follow Jesus, and I've never regretted that to this day. See, the Bible says that sin is running away from God, trying to do life our own way. Sin is taking the title of God and putting it upon ourselves, thinking that we are more important than he is. It has become sin that it's because of the sin that the humility in the world has become hostile and people have turned away from God. The Bible says that sin is conquered by death. So God designed the world, but our sin, our brokenness, let me not be so direct. My sin and my brokenness changed the narrative of God's plan, because I was born for his purpose and his plans. And I want to be bold enough to say that all of us in this room were born for his plan and his purpose. So God designed it, but actually a lot of people who run away from Christ, run away from God, run away from God. You notice I didn't say run away from the church, run away from God and run away from Jesus. That we live in our own lives when we do things our own way. And in that brokenness, we live in sin because we're not in a relationship with God. Romans chapter 1 verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is to be praised forever. Do you understand what that means? They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised. I spent some of my life looking to somebody, and that somebody was myself, who thought could give me total satisfaction. do it my way because my way is the best way. Well, actually, I came to a realization that my way wasn't the best way, and God's way was. And three people are coming into these waters today, not to say they're perfect, but to say that their way is not the best way, but their lives in the hands of God are the best ways for their lives. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, even though we've seen the wonder of God's creation, all of us at times of our life have sinned. We've run away from God. We've fallen away from God. We've fallen short of his presence because we want to do it our own way. The Bible talks so often about love and peace and harmony and unity. The Bible speaks so often about how God is the God who helps us in every hour of need. But yet, why do we try and do it on our own then? The reality is why we do it on our own, because we don't believe that this is true. Can I say to you this morning that if you trust and just put one bit of faith, whole faith, in trusting this, God will reveal it to you. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So, the gospel, the narrative, God's design, then brokenness came in because, unfortunately, you and I came into the world and we wanted to do it our own way. And then, well, the last point I want to just go on to say is about the solution. The solution is about a person who every single one of these people being baptized today have encountered. And that name, the person's name who I'm talking about is Jesus. Not the church, but Jesus. Brokenness leads to a place of help. Brokenness leads to a place of needing help, needing good news to get us out of the situation that we're in. God's, because of his mercy and his great love, did not leave us in our brokenness. He did not leave us to think that we could do it on our own, but he revealed himself to us, understanding that we could have a relationship with him. Jesus, God sent his only son, Jesus, as a solution for this sin problem. Jesus came to us, lived as a perfect life among us, showing his example to us, and then died in a place so that we didn't have to die, but that we could have eternal life in him. He then defeated sin, Jesus. He went to a cross and defeated sin, and he rose again, and he is alive today. And because he is alive today, men and women, boys and girls, have come to an understanding of him and who he is today. And today we will see three people declare their truth, their love and their truth, their love and their faith in Jesus Christ. See, the solution is Jesus. Simply hearing the good news is not enough. You see, I could have heard the good news, and if I do nothing about what I've heard, then nothing's going to happen. If I hear that there's a great offer on at the gym, but I don't act upon it, nothing's going to happen. Actually, simply hearing the good news about Jesus is not enough. Some of you today will hear the good news not from a vicar who has to say it, because it's a Sunday and I'm here and it's what I get paid for, kind of. You're going to hear it from three people that have encountered Jesus. You're going to hear how the good news has changed their life and how the good news has given them a second opportunity. That even though the world was created and even though they wanted to live independently on their own, they've come to an understanding that they need to live with Jesus Christ. Simply hearing the good news is not enough. When you hear good news, or when you have a good opportunity ahead of you, if you don't act upon it, nothing will happen. If you hear some good news about something that you might need to walk into or do, but you don't act upon it, you'll never see it. Simply hearing the good news is not enough. We must need to act on the good news. We must admit that our sinful, broken selves need some help along this journey of life. I don't stand before you today telling you that life as a Christian is really easy. But I tell you what, life is the life that I live, I couldn't do without Jesus with me. So simply hearing the good news is not enough. We must act on it. We must admit our sinful nature. We must ask God for forgiveness. And we must trust in him and not ourselves. This is when we can fully begin to understand the mega narrative of the good news of Jesus. Let me close by saying a few words from God's word. in John chapter 3, verse 16, which is in this very Bible, says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Death is not final for those who love Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says this: "Having cancelled the charge of this among you, you stand today free and no longer condemned because the nails that went on a cross." Mark 1:15 says this: "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Today, repent and believe in the gospel, the good news, and you will have a relationship with Christ." Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself, but the gift that only comes from God." I'm not going to finish my sermon there, because I'm going to finish my sermon after we baptize the last person. But I just want to say to you today that the gospel, the good news about what Jesus has done and what Jesus is willing to do in our lives, is not open to a few. It's open to the many. And it's not open to the perfect in this room, but it's open to the vulnerable and to the weak and to the lost and to the lonely and to the bereaved and to those who are walking in darkness and cannot understand the purposes of life. How will we ever understand the purposes of life unless we put our life in the hands of the one who gave life? And his name is Jesus. So I'm going to hand over to my colleague Ricky. He's the cool one in the shorts and t-shirt. And he's going to lead us through hearing some words of testimony from somebody who's not paid to say it, but has lived it in their life. And today I want to tell you how Jesus has changed their lives. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You ready for me to finish?
Yes.
Okay.
I've never been described as the cool one before. Mark this, it won't happen again.
You are, kind of.
I can't wait till you get your legs out. Anyway, I just want to encourage all the children to just come and gather at the front here, not right round where the pool's going to be, because we need to open that in a minute, but just come and gather at the front, because we're going to hear the stories of Grace and Lily and Breeder, and I want you to come and to encourage them and support them. All right, so come right down the front here. There we go, brilliant. I don't know what that's doing there. Let's get that out of the way. There we go. Let's lose that somewhere. There we are. Brilliant. And I want to explain one last thing, and that is that Scott's mentioned that we don't often baptize children, but I want to just reassure you, particularly you as members, that Grace and Lily have been through exactly the same process as Breeder. And as anybody else who will be baptized, there's no special dispensation for them. We don't say, well, actually, because they're children, they don't need to understand. We don't do that at all. So we've been through exactly the same process with them. And let me tell you that as it was my privilege to do that with them and with their parents. And one of them just blew me away. We were asking some questions. And one of the questions was, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Okay, so hold that in your head for a minute. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I won't tell you which one said it, but one of them said, I don't understand that. And I said, well, don't worry, we'll come back to that in a minute. Let's carry on with this. And when we came back to it, I said, now earlier you said that you don't believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they said to me, no, 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 no. I didn't say I don't believe it. I said I don't understand it. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. That's faith in action. I believe it, even though I can't explain it to somebody else. That's faith in action. And that alone should reassure you that you don't need to fully understand everything before you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Shall we hear their stories in their own words? Yeah? Would you encourage them? Grace, where's Grace? Can't see her among the crowd. Could you come and join me? Thank you very much. I'm going to hold the mic. You just need to hold your words. Brilliant. So this is Grace's story of the difference that Jesus has made in her life.
My name is Grace and I am 9 years old. I am in year five. I live with my mum, dad and my sister Sophie. I can't remember when I started to know Jesus, but it was from a very early age. I went to a Church of England school in reception to year two before moving to Wickford Primary School. For me, this was a hard change with everything going on. And although I was, and still am, a clever student, I wasn't one of the most popular. In fact, I was probably the least popular. I went to nearly all year three without a friend at school. Church has also become a chore. I became a Christian on the 7th of October 2018. God just gave me a nudge in the heart and said, come on. I wasn't sure whether to tell Mum and Dad because they were watching the new Han Solo Star Wars film. Eventually, I decided to tell them, and when they heard about it, we sat down for around an hour downstairs talking about it. I thought I would feel different, but I didn't. I know God has forgiven the things I did wrong because Jesus died for me on the cross. Even though I didn't feel any different, it has made my life different. I love Jesus. I became a Christian because I know that God loves me. I know I'm not perfect and I need to own up and say sorry for the bad things I have done. I am getting baptized because I am dying to my old life and living my new life. I will try not to do wrong things and God will help me and so will my mum, dad and Sophie. Church is good now. I enjoy crunch, fridge and all the fun activities we do. School is not as hard and when it is hard I tell my mum and dad and we pray to God. Things have got a lot easier because I have trusted God. In the future I'm hoping to start up my own life group. I am going to go out and tell people about Jesus starting in school. Thank you for all your help and support for me and my family.
Wow, fantastic. Lily, come and try and follow that. You're good.
Before I became a Christian, there was lots of arguments with my friends and it made me feel really angry and depressed. I became a Christian when I was in year four. I was going to my room and I asked my mum, how do you become a Christian? So she helped me say a prayer. I said sorry for my part in some of the arguments that was happening and I wanted to receive Jesus into my life. I have been helped in my Christian life by my family, church family, kids leaders and my friends. My school friends have been very supportive of my faith too. Now when there are arguments, and there's not so many now because we're older, I know Jesus is always there for me and any time of my life, and I'm not alone.
Fantastic. And you'll notice that neither of them are perfect yet. Still arguments. And neither of them will be perfect when they come out of the water either. Sorry to say that, parents, but that's true. Breeder, come and share your story, please.
Oh, goodness.
You're fine.
I was born in Dublin and brought up in a Catholic family. My dad was killed in an accident by a drunk driver. Mum couldn't manage and had to put me and my little brother in children's homes, where I first learnt about God and Jesus. I had a religion which sustained me through many ups and downs in my life. The loss of my fiancé Peter, who died 6 months before we were going to be married in 1969. Then I got married to a wonderful man called Alan in January 72. We had a beautiful baby son called Joe on the 10th of December. But sadly, he died a week later of meningitis. In June 73, we lost triplets at 11 weeks. We coped all alone, as there was no help out there at the time. I have suffered from depression ever since. In September 74, we had a beautiful son called Toby, and in May 76, we had a beautiful daughter called Julia. In July 84, my mum died of cancer, and the same year, Alan was in a car crash and broke his neck. I then became Alan's carer. In 2005, we moved to Raleigh. I became very isolated and had no friends, as caring for Alan was a 24/7 job. My children helped as much as they could, but they had to work. Alan was in a wheelchair and was in and out of hospital. He now had diabetes and leukemia. Then 5 years ago, I left Alan in bed and went to get a prescription for him. I was in a deep depression and I didn't want to go back home. Although I had always known about God and Jesus, it was only when I had reached that point where I couldn't go on by myself that I prayed really hard to Jesus to come into and share my life, to help me, to sustain me, and to show me where to go. I just kept walking up the high street and ended up at RBC Community Cafe. I sat down and a lovely lady called Georgina came and sat beside me and talked to me. I told her that I'd been living in Raleigh for 9 years and was looking after Alan and didn't have any friends. She told me about the Carers Cafe, so I started going there. It was a great lifeline for me, and Georgina phoned me regularly to make sure that I was okay, and she still does that. I started coming to church here when I could leave Alan. It took another 4 years before I could feel the Holy Spirit working in me. Alan passed away. Alan passed away peacefully on the 7th of September 2017. God was always there sustaining me. And the last year of Alan's life, I felt God drawing us together as a family. Thank you, Julia, Paul, Toby, and Lindsay, for all your love and support, especially today. I love you. The relationship I have now with my RBC family has helped my faith to grow. I love stewarding and helping out the Carers Cafe. I love my life group family too, and thank them for their ongoing support and love. I'm not so lonely anymore. I love Jesus and offer my life to him.
Three powerful but very different stories of different lives and of different ways that Jesus has engaged with people and changed their lives. We're going to open the baptistry. When we do, children, if you'd like to shuffle a little bit closer, parents, just keep a hand on them. That'd be great. And we're going to go down into the waters. We're going to ask some questions of our baptism candidates, and then we're going to baptize them. It's a little bit chilly, isn't it? I don't know what Andrew was saying earlier when he said it was lovely. Grace, I have a verse for you, and then your dad has one as well. And this is from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, and this is from the New Life Translation, and it says this: "But you belong to God, my dear child. You have already won a victory, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." All right, and that means that you don't need to fear anything that's going on around you, because you've got God's Holy Spirit within you. All right?
Yeah, and from Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Thank you. Now, we're going to ask you some questions, and I want you to use your big voice that you used on the stage. Is that all right? So, here are your questions. Who is the Lord and Saviour of your life?
Jesus is my Lord and Saviour.
And are you determined to turn away from your old life and live a new life in obedience to Jesus?
Yes.
And will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and serve him in the world?
With the Lord's help, I will.
Fantastic. And so comes this moment. So, Grace, that's it, hold your hands together. So, Grace, having heard of your faith and your repentance, it's my joy and my privilege to now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Turn it up, we're gonna sing it out for all the world to hear. Oh, 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 there's life for everyone. A new day has begun, something to shout about. Let it be known that our God saves, our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come. Love has won. We lift you up, 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 oh. Nothing can stop us now. No one can keep us down. We found our voice again. Oh, 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 oh. No need for fear and shame. There's power in this name. Come on, let freedom reign. Let it be known that our God saves, our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come, love has won. We lift you up, 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 oh. We lift your name up. Higher and higher, we lift your name up. We shout your name out, louder and louder. We shout it out now. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Higher and higher, we lift your name up. Yeah. We shout your name out, louder and louder. We shout it out now. Let it be known that our God saves, our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known. Love has come, love has won. We lift you up. Let it be known that our God saves, our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come. Love has won. We lift you up, 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 oh, oh.
Wonderful. Is Lily here somewhere? Here she is. Come on, come on round, Lily. And where's Mum? Mum's coming. Mum's coming. She's finished her duties. Brilliant. It's not cold, it's lovely. Just keep telling yourself it's lovely. Okay. Lily, I have a verse for you as well. I've got it in two versions because I like both. Okay. Yours is from 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 7. And in the New Century Version, it says, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. And in the Message, it says that God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold and loving and sensible.
Now, some of those words already describe you, and I pray that the others will in time as well, okay? So I'm going to ask you some questions. Can you read it without your glasses on? Is that right?
Yeah.
Good, good. I can only just. Who is the Lord and Saviour of your life?
Jesus is my Lord and Saviour.
Are you determined to turn away from your old life and live a new life in obedience to Jesus?
Yes.
And will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and serve him in the world?
With the Lord's help, I will.
That is awesome. Brilliant. Now, if you can put your hands like we told you earlier. Fantastic. So, Lily, having heard of your repentance and your faith, it's my joy and my privilege to now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
In my wrestling, in my doubt, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore. What tomorrow brings, dancing. My God's love will lead us through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore, oh, safe to shore. You're the brightest, you will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me. Oh, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Oh, safe to shore.
don't like ministers like they used to. It's not even cold, is it, Karen? They don't make them like they used to, do they, eh? Come on, man up. Right then, breather. Down you come. Absolutely. I don't know what they were causing a fuss about. You know, us Celts, man, we can cope with this. What a wonderful testimony, wasn't it? Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. That was powerful. And that was powerful from you two as well. You're yawning, Lily. Have you had enough already? It was powerful from you two too. Grace said to me before she went in, Pastor, I do hope the pool is 0.9 degrees like the swimming pool. It's not that, but it's not that cold. Breeder, what a fantastic testimony. Praise God. You know what? As the pastor of this church, it has been our delight to walk with you and journey with you. We've been through some ups and downs, and remember we used to have lots of chats about rugby, didn't I, in your house? And it's been great to get to know you. And Caroline's going to read a verse of scripture to you, and then we're going to ask you those same promises, and we'd like you to respond to what's in red. And then it's going to be my delight today to baptize you. But Caroline.
The verse we have for you, Breeder, is from Isaiah 41, verse 10. And there's definitely a theme in these verses today, but it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." And you've borne testimony to that in your life today. And I just pray for more of that strength, that he will uphold you through everything that's ahead of you from today onwards.
Amen. Amen. It's exciting, isn't it, kids? Oh, yeah, do you take your glasses off? Let's read this first, and then we'll take the glasses. No, I just heard, was that the Lord behind me who said, take your glasses off? Or was it your son? It was your son. It's the same sort of thing. So let's do the reading first. Let's do it all first, and then we'll take your glasses off. Don't worry. We can cope with that. So, Breeder, who is the Lord and Saviour of your life?
Jesus is my Lord and Saviour.
Amen. Are you determined to turn away from your old life and live a new life in obedience to Jesus?
Yes.
Great. Will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
With the Lord's help, I will.
Amen. Let's take your glasses off. Anything else? No, just checking. Once I did this and we had floating hearing aids, so we don't want that, do we? Okay, so I'm going to read these words first and then I'm going to put the microphone down. So, Breeder, because we've heard those words that you have declared to us today and your testimony that you spoke over us, having heard those words of repentance and faith as well, it will be my privilege in a few moments' time to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Breeder, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
The light of your love is shining in the midst of the dark. Is shining, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. This land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nation with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let the light. As we gaze on your kingly presence, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirror there, may our lives tell a story. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Come set your rule and reign into our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us